is something more in God. But we seem not to get rich. We seem not to get it. And you've been wondering, why? Why does it look like the fake churches and the fake pastors and prophets seem to be making it? It's because people are looking for results. It is because people are looking for transformation. And because the real church of Jesus Christ has not been able to provide that, the devil has brought about something else. And people are busy flocking into it. They know very well that it's fake, but they're there. I thank God that you're asking these questions and your heart is troubled, and I'm sure you're looking for solutions. And this brings me to the title of my teaching this morning. If you've got your pen and your paper, your iPad, whatever, put down this title. I want to talk to you this morning on empowered for service. Empowered for service. You cannot fully operate effectively in the kingdom of God unless you have access to kingdom power. Unless you and I have access to kingdom power, it will remain a wishful thinking in our hearts and minds. Unless you've been empowered from above, some things remain things read in books. You see, empowerment to be effective in what God has called you has everything to do with the work of the Holy Spirit. Empowerment has everything to do with the activities of the Holy Spirit. And I want to ask you this morning, have you encountered the person of the Holy Spirit? Many believers are not aware of other activities of the Holy Spirit. And specifically this morning, I want to take you through a teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Come on now. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Many believers are not aware of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And those who are aware of it, they're either skeptic about it, or they don't know much, they don't understand it. If you are to be effective in your walk with Jesus, you need to receive the baptism and the Holy Spirit. If you read around theology, if you read around doctrine, there are people who don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But as a church, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the activities of the Holy Spirit. There is what is called the Pentecostalism. And the movement of Pentecostals has been so effective because they believe in the experiential aspect of the Holy Spirit. You see, you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit because that is where power lies. And I want you to know this morning, if you are open to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, before you leave this morning, you will experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Can somebody say amen to that this morning? I got born again on the 11th of March, 1993. And I received baptism in the Spirit in 1994. I remember a church, the pastor, in our church, they used to make an altar call. And straight after the altar call, they'll start praying for people for the baptism in the Spirit. And on that particular day, he called us, everybody wants to receive the experience with the Holy Spirit. Come forward. As a young boy of 14, 15, thereabout, I walked to the front. And there was, I encountered the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I remember praying in another tongue for some time, and I was the only one left in the front when everybody had walked back to their seats. And the pastor said, just leave him. What was going on here? I had encountered the Holy Spirit. And as I'm talking right now, I want you to choose in your heart and say, do you want to be part and parcel of this movement, or you want to be a spectator? Or you want to remain skeptic? If you are skeptic, that's okay. I can't change you. You see, baptism in the Holy Spirit is something that will enable you to go deeper in the things of God. We need to move away from just doctrinal facts and historical facts about God. Things that appeal to our mind to a dimension of things that are real. The Church of Jesus Christ needs to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. People are looking for answers and solutions. This is the stuff that draws the attention of the world to the Church of Jesus Christ. This is the stuff that draws worldly people to you because they look at you and they say there is something different about this person. This person is able to say yes and is able to say no. This person remains positive even in the middle of skepticism. Even when things are so negative, this person has the ability to bounce back. Not because of power or might, but because of the Holy Spirit. It is the stuff that changes young people. It is the stuff that changes you to be able to choose differently at school. Without the Holy Spirit, I would not have survived the journey at an all-boys school. But because of the Holy Ghost, I was able to stand. You see, without the power of the Holy Spirit, your willpower is not enough. You will give up. I started working in 2004. I'm in the construction industry. I remember as I walked onto that site in Cape Town, Waterfront, V&A, the guys on site told me, Michael, you don't drink, you don't swear, you don't sleep around, we give you 3 months. Within 3 months, you'll be like us. 3 months went by. 3 years went by. 6 years went by. They haven't changed me. Not because I am strong by myself, but because I have the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. You can try and resist by yourself. But without his activities in your life, your effort will not pay dividend. Baptism in the Spirit is a biblical term, a biblical experience for every believer. And I want to explore this with you for a moment before we get into that place. I want to look at two aspects of the baptism in the Spirit. One of the things I have found in our church is we don't teach these things. We just say, we just impose, like, have you been baptized? But what is this stuff about? Two aspects about baptism in the Holy Spirit. Number one, the first baptism we talk about is being born of the Spirit. You are born of the Spirit. Why do I say this? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. I pray that the spirit of faith would rise up in your heart this morning. The Bible says, just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit, we were all baptized. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. All were made to drink of one spirit. Question, what baptism is Paul talking about here? Paul is talking about the operation of the Holy Spirit that regenerates your spirit from being dead to being alive. By so doing, the Holy Spirit unites you and I to Jesus Christ and by default to his body, the church. I'm talking about being born again, being regenerated by the Holy Spirit. And this is the baptism that Paul is talking about. And this morning, if you are not born again, you need that activity of the Holy Spirit that leads you to a place of being born again. The Bible says no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. unless you're born of the Spirit and of water, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm talking about baptism into the church through the work of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it is conversion process. You are born of the Spirit. You have a measure of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Because without the activity of the Holy Spirit, no one can be born again. You are moved upon by the Holy Spirit in such a way that you're brought to a place of faith and you're united with Jesus Christ. And this is what we call the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. How can I explain this better? It's like drinking water. Having drunk a glass of water, water is inside of you. At the time of being born again, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you and he inhabits your spirit man. He transforms your spirit man. Glory be to God. That is why we say a truly born again Christian cannot be demonized. It's very important for us to understand those things. If you are born again, your spirit man is made alive to the things of God, and no demon can get inside of your spirit man. You can be oppressed, yes, from the outside. But in terms of the demon possessing your spirit, man, no ways if you are born again. The Bible says, him who he has saved, he can save utterly. That's the activity of the Holy Spirit. So you drink some water, and the water gets inside of you. You get born again. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is upon you. This is fantastic. Now, if you follow through with that analogy of drinking water, your tummy can only take so much. Okay? It can only take so much. So there's a limitation regarding the activities around that. Let's look at the second aspect that we're going to dwell on this morning. So you're born of the Spirit. Number two, you are empowered by the Spirit. You are empowered by the Spirit. That is where we're talking about empowered for service. And this is the second experience with the Holy Spirit, which is referred to as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism in the Spirit. There are denominations that think that this thing does not happen after. It happens when you are born again. But let's look at scriptures. The second experience is what we refer to as baptism in the Spirit. This is the experience that the Lord Jesus spoke about after telling his disciples about the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, he said to them, go ye and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey my commandments, and I will be with you till the utter ends of the world. So he gave them a mandate. He gave them a commission. He gave them a service like you and I today. We are called of God for a purpose, for a reason. Now, this is the experience that Jesus was saying to the disciples, you need an add-on to your lives. We need a power beyond ourselves for service and ministry in Christ kingdom. So when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he knew that his disciples were limited. He was talking to disciples that believed in Jesus. They loved Jesus. They had seen Jesus performing miracles, but Jesus knew that what he had, they did not have. You remember in Matthew 3 when he got baptized, the Bible says as he came out of water, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. And the Father spoke and said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. The Apostle John was told, the baptizer, that the one upon which you see the Holy Spirit descending and remaining, he is the one. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come from time to time, but he would depart. He would enable people to do mighty works, but the Holy Spirit would not remain permanently. Jesus was the first one upon which the Holy Ghost came and remained permanently. You and I need that permanent work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This church needs the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus had a special gift in store for them. Remember in the book of John 14 and John 16, Jesus started telling them, he says, it is expedient for you that I go. Because if I don't go, the promise will not come. It is for your good that I depart. Because when I go to my Father, I will ask him to release the promise. So immediately after giving them the Great Commission, Jesus commanded his disciples not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. Acts chapter 1 verse 4. The Bible says, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem. Many believers have departed Jerusalem without the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. But to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Jesus was talking to his disciples who had already believed in him. This particular scripture, it was after his resurrection. There he was telling them in that 40-day prayer where he appeared to his disciples, he then told them, do not leave Jerusalem. In other words, do not attempt to serve me without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. In other words, the baptism he was referring to was different from the experience of being born again. These were believers. But he said to them, do not leave Jerusalem until you receive the promise. When you are baptized in the Spirit, it is as if that initial outpouring, the initial indwelling of the Holy Spirit becomes an ocean that completely surrounds us. So my analogy of water, when you drink water, it comes inside of you, but you have a different experience with water when you go to the beach and the waves come over you. That is a baptism in the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Ghost comes over you and he overshadows you, he comes and covers you. By being baptized in the Holy Spirit, the disciples were going to receive empowerment for the work of the ministry. Acts 1 verse 8. The Bible says, you will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. These were born again believers. And I want to say this morning, yes, you're born again, but you need this experience. You shall receive power. The absence of power in the church and in the lives of believers emanates from the fact that many of us have not received the baptism in the Spirit. And then you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Meaning that when you have the power of the Holy Spirit, you become an effective witness of Jesus Christ. You are able to operate in power. There was a difference between the Peter who was not baptized in the Spirit and the Peter who was baptized in the Spirit. The pre-baptism Peter was one who was naive, a bit scared, rejected Jesus, went back fishing. But after the baptism of the Spirit, this is the Peter who stood before the Sanhedrin and said to them, choose who do you think we should save, between you or God? Peter was full of boldness. His first miracle in the beautiful gate, he saw this man who had been crippled for 38 years and he said to him, silver and gold we do not have, but what we have we give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. What had happened here? Peter had been baptized in the Spirit. Peter operated in power. Jesus meant that you receive extraordinary power for Christ's exalting ministry. And this is a need for all his disciples. That experience can occur in so many ways, and you must desire it over and over and over. One sign of being baptized in the Spirit, one sign, is through the speaking of a new language. Many people think it's funny. Many people think it's fake. Think what you may, but there is a promise for every believer. Glory be to God. I wanted it so much, and I keep on craving for it. And I've seen God just pouring himself out more and more in my life. I cannot change your mind, but today, if you are willing and obedient, you'll experience another dimension of the Holy Spirit in your life. You see, you need to know that it is an experience that happens beyond conversion. It is a definite experience which we can know that we either have it or we don't. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. The Bible says, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And their answer was, no, we don't even know there's a thing called the Holy Spirit. These were disciples. These were believers. He asked, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Can you see how clear it is that it's an experience over and above being converted? The disciples that Paul encountered in Ephesus spoke with tongues and prophesied when Paul laid hands on them. Verse 6. Acts 19, verse 6. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. When we lay hands on you as elders of a church, there's an impartation that takes place. Paul spoke to Timothy and said, do not neglect the gift of God that came upon you by the laying of my hands. Impartation. And therefore, when you stop looking at the guy talking as just an ordinary guy, you'll be able to receive something of God through him. Our problem is we get so used to the guy because he talks to all of us, that we fail to place weight on what God can do when he lays hands on us. I'm talking about the laying of hands. Peter did the same thing. He was laying hands on people, and this Simon the sorcerer saw, the Bible says, when he saw that they received something by the laying of hands, he said to Peter, give me some of that stuff. Because he wanted to make money out of it. And Peter rebuked him and says, you will have nothing to do with this. The Bible says, when they laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. In your heart, I want you to picture yourself experiencing the outpouring of the Holy Ghost today. It is an operation of the Spirit, distinct from and a subsequent event after conversion. Let's look at some scriptures. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. The Bible says, but when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. The Bible says this gift is for you and for your children and for those who are beyond. Philip was just a deacon. Philip was not an elder. Philip was not a pastor. He was a deacon, an appointed servant, which means any one of us here can lay hands on people and people can receive the baptism in the Spirit. Because it's not about title. It's about the heart. It's about faith. Glory be to God. It's about you believing in the things of God and say, I want this. Verse 14. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had not, give me that scripture, just take along with me. For as yet he had not fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. For as yet he had not fallen upon none of them. Something that's subsequent, right? It's something that is different. How do we receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Do we spit on you? Do we pour oil on you? What do? Do we make you eat grass? None of that stuff. Once you have accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, all you need to do is to ask. 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 Ask and you shall receive. Luke 11 verse 13. The Bible says, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give what? The Holy Spirit. How much more your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. Young people, you're on my heart this whole week. And I was saying, Lord, meet up with these young people in Jesus' name. You need the Holy Ghost. You're not too young. And I rebuke the foolishness of youth that causes you to minimize what God is doing. I need you right now in the name of Jesus to hear God speaking to you. The Lord met up with me, and my life was never the same after that. We refuse to lose any of you when you go to varsity. You need the Holy Spirit now in the name of Jesus. When you go into high school, you will not lose you in the name of Jesus, because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. The one who walks with you. The one who convicts you of God's goodness. The one who separates you for His holy use. The one who calls. All you older people this morning, the Lord can take you to another dimension today. He can refresh your prayer life by the infilling of the Holy Ghost again. He can awaken your dreams and your passions today. That is what He does. Ask. Oh, how much I need the Holy Spirit in my life. How much I need the Holy Ghost to be able to preach with power. How much I need the Holy Ghost to enable me when I do a presentation at work. Oh, how much I need the power from on high when I sign my deals with new clients. How much I need the power of the Holy Spirit to testify about the goodness of Jesus. I need the power from on high. Do not leave Jerusalem. How dare the church leave Jerusalem without the power of the Holy Spirit? How dare you get into a marriage without the power of the Holy Spirit? How dare you start a business without the power of the Holy Spirit? Jesus said, do not do this thing without the Holy Spirit. Ask. Ask. Secondly, it's about faith. Believe that after you have asked, you receive. Believe that you have received what you have asked of Him. Galatians 3:2. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? It was not about striving. Some people feel like we are taught these tongues If you think like that, that's your story. But if you are like a child today, the Bible says, unless you become like a child, you will not experience the fullness of the kingdom of God. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by faith as you hear the word? You must believe that if you ask, you'll receive. You know what? God created you and I to experience the fullness of His presence. And He's not going to play hide and seek with us when we desire another dimension. He created us to dwell in His glory. He created us to be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. He will not hold this from you. You see, the gift of tongues is not a mandate, but a choice. It's not mandatory, but it's a choice. You and I have a right to choose. If you eagerly desire, you will be filled. If not, you'll probably not be filled. There has to be a legitimate hunger for God, where you are not just open to it, but you pursue it with all your heart. I remember in our youth ministry back in the days, we'd have these camp meetings where the Holy Spirit would just hit the young people and they would have encounters with the Holy Spirit. And I refuse to live in the past. The same God who did it then, He can do it today in the name of Jesus. But those young people were open to the Holy Spirit. They refused to operate in the foolishness of youth. They said, no, I just want this. I want something new for my life. There has to be a legitimate hunger for God. You see, being able to pray in a new tongue maximizes your relationship with God, gives you access to spiritual gifts. Paul says, desire spiritual gifts, especially that of prophesying, because it edifies the church. Paul says, I will pray with understanding, but I also pray in the spirit. When I pray in the spirit, my mind does not benefit, but my spirit man is being built up. In Jude, the Bible says, pray in the spirit so that you can be edified in your spirit, man. Don't settle for less. There is more in God. Understand that the gift of tongues is subject to your will and to your surrender to God. Those of you who have been baptized and you speak in a tongue, you need to cry out for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18, the Bible says, do not get drunk with wine, because it makes you lose control. Instead, keep on being filled with the Holy Ghost continually. Continually, saints. Where you start operating in dimension, where you're able to interpret what you're saying in the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, you're able to see vision. You're able to get ideas. There are times where I pray in the Spirit, the Lord starts reminding me of some of you, and I'll start praying for you. What's going on here? The Holy Spirit does that work. The Holy Spirit does that work. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. And I want us to just get into space today, where our hearts are open. Let's not strive about this thing. There are some people that I know, they'll get baptized. The evidence of the speaking of tongues is not there, but as they walk with the Lord in the morning, a couple of days down the road, something happens. The floodgates open up and they cannot stop. Hallelujah. You see, we're not going to be mechanical, methodical about it. We're going to walk by faith this morning. I want us to stand on our feet. The Bible says the things of the Spirit are foolishness to those who perish. Or the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who perish. But life to us who believe. In Romans 8, the Bible says the things of the Spirit cannot be comprehended by a carnal mind. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Spirit of God. I want you to be in that space today, right now. Firstly, I want to pray for you if you're not born again. With our eyes closed, if you know you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior today, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. You cannot receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, unless your spirit man has been regenerated. Anybody who is here today who says, I haven't given my life to Jesus, I haven't received Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. If you're here, lift your hands. I want to pray with you right now. In the name